Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. An homage to Joe Burrow right there on ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about the college football weekend. I am, dude, watching that Purdue-Minnesota game. How in the world can you get away with calling an offensive pass interference on that play? Purdue loses the game. That's livelihoods right there.
Yeah.
I mean, and that ref gets away with that. And listen, I'm convinced now, I mean, there were calls back and forth and everything else, but watching that LSU game, there was a hold in that game when LSU picks up a big first down on third and a flag comes in and you're like, what? And they look at it and go, oh man, I don't see anything. And you're like, what in the, these refs, you talked about it a little bit last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was, I don't know if it was on record. I think it was off or off the air. I don't care if it gets on the air.
Oh.
But it's so easy.
It's the simplest way to throw a game.
It's the simplest way to involve a game. And I talked to a guy way back, it was in the 90s, who was doing handicapping stuff, who said he knew it. There was a referee in Phoenix, I think he was in Phoenix, or the Arizona area, if I remember correctly. And he did Pac-12 games, and he had done some NFL. But he just said, you know, he told this guy, if I want to impact the game, I can call interferences. I can call. For him, he was the back judge or whatever. No, yeah. Whatever it is for the secondary.
Yeah.
And he said, it's so easy. You can call a penalty anytime you want to go. Same thing for holding.
So
whenever you want to, you can impact the game.
Absolutely. I mean, so Donaghy did it in the NBA and was caught and did time. But so we've had, you know, kickers. We've had plenty of players who we found out they were throwing games, right? In basketball and in football.
Right.
Are we to believe, and have we ever had a college football referee? No, right? No. I don't remember one. Do you, Del? No. Not that I know of. How about an NFL referee? Are we to believe some of these calls are that this is on the... absolutely, this is the way to... And you could see it. Did Donaghy, he just... Like all of these years of college football and pro football refs that they none of them have ever gambled? Okay. But I want to tell you something. It was egregious.
It's usually on you only find it with players.
That Purdue call?
You just find it with players. Like
why? It's the ref is the one that you got to watch.
No, right. Yeah. That's the but you only see it with
right. It's only players that have ever been caught.
Yeah, you don't see it with
no.
Referees, and the referees are the easiest ones to get to.
Yes. They're the easiest ones to throw the game. At any point they can throw a flag and just a call and you're like, what?
Sure.
So I honestly thought there is something fishy about this Purdue call. That was the most unbelievable, and that's the game winner. That's the one you got to call if you've got the other side. That's the one you have to call, and you're down to a last resort.
How about match fixing? Like, that's the big concern is match fixing in Russia. Remember, there was a bunch of match fixing stuff in soccer where you just need to be able to get to two people, either a goalkeeper or a ref, because refs can call stuff. You could call stuff all the time in soccer. Luckily, they let things go. My squad beat Dell squad this weekend. It's irrelevant, but they're headed for relegation soon. But
Dell's?
Yeah. I mean, there's a long season to go, but it's... You can already see it. It's in the distance.
How did your team start out in first place, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And we're headed back there.
No. Okay, sure.
We're six, but we're only a few points from the top.
And barely squeezed out a win against the fourth worst team in all of the Premier League.
I wouldn't say barely. 3-2, but it was like it was might as well have been 5-2.
3-2?
The score was barely. Not indicative of how bad it was.
Oh, okay, like a sure. 70-60 NFL game.
Yeah. Yeah, you barely squeezed it out.
That bad.
Your team is trash.
So, anyway... But a referee in soccer can just call something in a box for a penalty kick. That's not hard. That's not hard. That's really egregious. Like we talked about last week, you get a penalty kick is maybe the most egregious call you can make in all of professional sports.
Yep.
A red card, a penalty kick, that's what they can do.
So what did we learn that Gundy still is terrible.
We already knew that.
No, yeah, but
that's not
Oklahoma. He took it to another level. They took it. Oklahoma State took it to another level. That was embarrassing, 21-0.
So Spencer Sanders was hurt enough not to play for about 2.5 quarters and then healthy enough to play in the
I honestly think they just were like, let's see what the freshman could do in the fresh. It was too big. He threw up all over himself.
Yeah, I just don't know why you just run Sanders out there. Just leave him off the field if he was too hurt.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Either way, it was more of the same.
Yeah, it was exactly. It's like, oh, my God. Gundy is so afraid. I mean, there's something about playing OU. He just can't do it. And at some point, don't you have to, if you're Oklahoma State, don't you have to say he can't get it done? We can't get to where we want to get
to. Well, if you're Oklahoma State, what do you think?
What's it's your like the R.C. Slocum thing where he wins. Yeah. He recruits well. He wins. You know, it's tough. It's really tough.
Got a defense, though.
Who do you get to come there, you know? Because they do have a defense, but it didn't look like it there for in the first half.
But then they
tightened it up in the second half.
First 9 minutes, it was they got up and down, and then they figured it out. Like, if you're Oklahoma State, what's your ceiling? That's what you, because it's one of your own and so on and so forth. If you want to get away from Mike Gundy, he has, not recently because he's had a downturn, but in his time there, he has 6 10-win seasons. There's been, no one's been better there. No one's had that type of success at Oklahoma State over, and it's been prolonged. He's been there since 2005. Oklahoma State is T-Bone still alive?
No, dead.
Okay. So I don't know who their big booster is now.
Chad.
It's not Chad.
There's money into the program.
But Chad's doing okay as far as they call him. You know,
so,
they want to know his opinion.
So what's the ceiling for Oklahoma State? How good can they be?
Why couldn't they? Why can't they be? Why?
But like I said, Gundy's had multiple, like 6 10-win seasons. Is somebody else going to do better than that?
Listen, they have the facilities. They have the backing. They have the money. They have.
I tell you what makes it hard, though. You think about LSU. They were borderline irrelevant for many, many years, despite the fact that everyone knew it could do well, and they weren't. And Texas, too. But you always knew that LSU has a player base there.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was accessed. And
Oklahoma State does, too. It's called Texas.
Well, but that's the point, is they go into Texas, but Oklahoma is going to get first dibs. University of Texas, Texas A&M.
LSU.
And all the other teams. Like Oklahoma.
Well, now with the transfer portal,
harder.
Now,
they maybe
picked
it can
up
help.
The pass rusher. And listen, okay, they went to Canada, they got Chuba. They got Tylan Wallace, who was the best receiver in the country. It's not like they can't and don't. Spencer Sanders was very highly regarded. I mean, they're getting players. That's not
No, they have gotten players, but it's not. I don't think it's easy necessarily.
No.
And are they
I'll tell you this, that 95 Thomas kid from OU, though.
Yeah, they're not. And holy even Ronnie Perkins is back. They had another kid who.
Yeah, they were just better. Yeah. They were just better.
Can Oklahoma State continue to roll in defensive ends and defensive tackles and offensive linemen? Because, you can go get, you can find you a Chuba, you can find you a Tylan. The transfer portal will take care of that. You can go find overlooked guys. But you know the premium positions in college football? The fronts and corners. Can they get those guys over and over? That's how you build. Look at the best teams in the country. They have those guys in spades.
Listen, you're going to find a lot of these guys on this Oklahoma State defense are playing on Sundays.
I'm not talking about this particular one, but I'm talking about over and over and over again.
I'll tell you this. My God, Oklahoma State's left tackle, number 61. Maybe is the
right tackle is supposed to be the guy that can play.
Well, the left tackle
was terrible.
Awful. Awful. I mean, holy crap. He is so bad. I don't know how Sanders or Illingworth were able to do anything.
You know, I was responsible for Big 12 for the Joe Moore Awards. And I was like, guys, I don't know that. I said, honestly, it ain't so good in this conference. I said, Iowa State, they're not the most talented, but they work hard together. They play in unison. They've got this, that, and the other. And I made a, I said, I'll put the cape on for A&M. I see them all the time, and everyone know, like, A&M's going to be one of the favorites. Texas is just too up and down. West Virginia's up and down. Oklahoma is just not what they have been in the past. It's just not – Oklahoma State keeps playing worse and worse on the offensive line. Like, this conference is not good from an O-line standpoint. It's just not good from a standpoint of college football.
No, well, Big 12 football is not that good.
Yeah.
It's not that good this year.
This just is.
Anything? Did we learn anything? I mean, is, I guess Kyle Trask again? I mean, it was
– He's the Heisman favorite.
Who, yeah.
It was Vanderbilt.
I know, but he puts up more numbers.
He's been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, since we're talking college football, Kyle Trask will be there, and he might win it all. We'll see, and he'll have the Alabama game to cement that particular standing.
Mac Jones is going to be there.
That's where we'll find out. I think Joe Burrow probably won it with his Alabama game.
Mac Jones is going to be there. Devontae Smith is starting to really throw some big numbers up there. Is there any running back that's killing it?
I mean, Najee's pretty good, but as far as overwhelming numbers, I can't think
I haven't seen anyone with overwhelming.
Does anybody run the
ball? What about Fields?
Well, Zach Wilson's going to be there.
What about Fields? He's not going to have enough games, is he?
Well, he had a poor game over the weekend.
He had a poor game, still threw three touchdowns.
He threw three picks. Fields. He threw three picks.
He had a poor
game. It was his worst game of the year.
Zach Wilson. He's going to be there. I don't think he wins, but he's going to be there.
You see Cincinnati right now, best chance of making the playoffs. Cincinnati's actually ahead of Clemson.
We'll see where they're
ranked tomorrow.
Was it the first poll?
First CFP rankings come out tomorrow. I imagine Cincinnati's going to be lower than you think, just because that's how they've always treated those teams.
How about Herb Street? His top six? He's got Florida at 5 and Cincinnati at 6.
A lot of people have Florida over A&M.
How could you have? Okay,
a lot of people
do. This makes me nuts. The two teams played. Texas A&M beat them. Texas A&M has one loss as well, and it was to Alabama. How in the world can you possibly have? Can you possibly justify having Florida ahead of Texas A&M?
And it turns out Florida's best win ain't that great. Georgia's not that great. They struggled again over the weekend. Thankfully, they actually played JT Daniels, or they would have lost to Miss State, who had like 49 players.
I know, right? Miss State finally showed up.
Yeah. I've seen it. I listen to a lot of college football podcasts. Watch a lot of college football shows. Almost to a man, Florida's ahead of A&M.
That is crazy. They played. A&M beat them. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? Well,
but they see that they have maybe the most explosive offense in college football.
You got to do it on the field.
Well, I know, but A&M that still is always.
What's A&M that? Just put up 49.
I know, but that still plays. I mean, you literally have a guy who's the leader with the Heisman Trophy. The thing is, their defense, Florida's defense, is not very good. They're just not a very good defense. They do have some talent, but they're just not a very good defense. So I think that's.
Well, that was an argument last year about
LSU.
That's
a tough sell.
But I'm going to tell you this. Well, first of all, LSU turned it around at the end. But secondly, they didn't lose. They lost to Texas A&M. You lost to that team. How in the world are you ahead of them? It makes me nuts.
It's the only explanation I could imagine there would be was, well, we saw Florida. I mean, we saw A&M against Bama, and it was a blowout. Well, who knows? Florida might get blown out by Bama, too. We don't know that. They just haven't played yet. Bama might be out in front as the best team in the country. We just haven't seen Florida against them. I don't get it either, but everywhere I've seen, Florida ahead of A&M for whatever reason.
That's dumb. All right. I got a story on the other side we're going to tell you here on ESPN 97.5.
Please don't tell me it's about crack.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Lance Zierlein here. And wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
DA got that dope.
Ice water turn Atlantic. Night calling in a phantom. Told them, hold it, don't you.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance and Dell. Frankie just flew in.
Frankie is your daughter.
My daughter. Uh-huh. She's my youngest, my baby girl. And she, despite what Art says, Art, who tweets the show, he's worried about Frankie being in Washington, D.C. sometime. At some point running our country, I think it would be what a country we'd have. Now, I don't think it would be a great country as far as driving goes. So I sold the car, her car, right, to John Clay Wolf. And he
had
gave
to
me,
tow it out of here.
Well, kind of. And actually, it sat here for months because I couldn't get the title. Nothing to do with John Clay Wolf. This place, Member Source, they couldn't take the lien off, and I had to go to the government building, and I had to do all this rigmarole. They sent it to the wrong place. Finally, I just got her title. It's nothing to do. You can't sell it without a title. So, unfortunately, it took months to get this job done. But during that time, you know, it was. Now they do this to all the cars, though. They check out the cars. And here's what they do. They have like, they call them incidents or deterrents or something. Something is wrong with the car. They do all the diagnostics on the car. Brake pads are, he needs new brake pads. You need new tires. You got a ding in the door. You got a fender, a little fender on the fender or whatever. So Zane, who works here in Houston and does it for John Clay Wolf, and he collects the cars and then he does all the diagnostic stuff and he does all this stuff. He said, can you believe Frankie set a record? And I said,
no.
So I said, well, what was the record? He said,
set a record?
She set a record. And I said, well, was it? He said, the old record was 14. 14 of such incidents, brake pads or ding in the door or whatever. 14 was the most they'd ever had. And that lowers the value of the car.
Yeah.
Because they got to fix all that stuff, right?
Why did he make you an offer without doing this research?
Well, John Clay Wolf did that for me, I think. But he had to adjust a little. Frankie barely beat this 14. What do you think she beat it by? She's got the new record now for most incidents like this.
17.
17? No. 64.
Oh, my God. 64.
60.
Oh, my God.
64.
I got to do a David.
He goes.
David Rose on that one.
He 64. When you lit out the diagnostics, it was like a Christmas
David.
Tree. So I was looking up like Babe Ruth.
Your daughter has broken the car.
She's like the Babe Ruth, only even better. Babe Ruth had 60 home runs in 1927.
Better or worse?
Well, other teams, only three other teams had more than 60 home runs. That's how much better Babe Ruth was than the whole league. Frankie has 64 incidents.
How is
that
possible to have that? Like, a car is only so big.
Well,
brake pads, one.
Right, that's one.
Like, you would have to go brake pad every, the door lock doesn't work, all the electrical's out.
Window won't come down.
Out. Like, I mean, it has to be.
No, she's an amazing woman, my daughter.
64 is, that's drive it until it's, how old is this car?
It was a 2010. Well, she only had it for 4 years.
How many miles were on it? 350,000?
No.
Remember, this is the same young lady who, didn't she drive into the garage door of a parking structure?
No. Well, before she left, she took Wendy's rearview mirror out by hitting the pole. Bam. And that was 1,500.
Why would you ever let her in your cars?
Well, yeah.
Is she on your insurance?
Not now, because she doesn't have a car anymore. We sold it. Which is...
Oh, you didn't get her a new one. She just doesn't have a car.
No. She doesn't have a car. She doesn't need one in Washington.
That's a blessing.
But you're going to let her...
How far did that
Washington,
go down?
Washington, thank God for their public transport.
Are you going to let her drive while she's here?
Yeah, I don't... Wendy?
Does she have a license anymore? That had to have been...
Yes. No. She still has a license. You'll remember, Frankie, I think, had three accidents before she even started, before she was 16.
Well, that was on her parents.
Does Frankie even put gas in the gas tank, or she just stuffed trash down the tank? Here, this must work.
Runs on compost.
I mean, 64.
You're not going to let her drive your cars, right?
She's like, no, listen, that's way better than baby. She's like the Michael Phelps of car incidents.
But that's not
so
good.
Far above and beyond everybody else. So much greater.
When Frankie says, hey, Dad, I want to go someplace, will you just immediately call an Uber?
Right.
Call the Uber.
Right.
Don't let her get behind the wheel of one of your cars. You can't. You're asking to pay $1,500.
Unbelievable.
I'm not suggesting, you love your daughter, but you're asking to pay $1,500 if every time she gets behind the wheel.
No. Uber's here. Yeah, Frankie, call the Uber. I'm going to take Uber's here. No. But I want to go up to Starbucks.
Oh, well, Uber. Take the Uber.
Uber.
You're not driving my car.
Oh, my gosh. I heard 60. He goes, 14 was the record. 64 now is the record that no one will touch. That's like 5,714 strikeouts by Nolan Ryan. Nobody's getting close to that.
So that record is unbreakable.
Did you get a list of all the things?
I didn't. I'll ask.
It's
Dan
like a complete game record in Major League Baseball. The game's not even played way
Young.
Anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not. The game's not even played to it. You can't even approach this number.
No.
This record's gonna fall. 5 years from now, we're gonna find out Frankie's been on the juice.
Frankie was juicing, but it wasn't steroids.
Juice.
Yeah.
Only way to explain it. Only reason I want the list because I want to know the most inexplicable thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one thing they can't even explain.
Like what was the most surprising thing?
I know, but I will. I'll ask it.
Because there has to be something where they say, we've never seen this one.
Right.
Never seen the pedal of the accelerator. The rubber was off of it or like.
Well, the last one, one of the last ones was the window. Dad, my window won't go. Well,
what do you mean your window won't go down?
I don't know why you did that.
Did you give her the car care lesson, like changing your oil at this time, make sure you're never running on empty, it messes with the car.
She had a nice car. It had
check. It tells you.
It tells you everything.
They tell you everything.
Everything.
She just ignored him.
she couldn't. She didn't have time. She was busy.
What was she doing?
She was busy graduating LSU, which is
congratulations.
Very difficult. Very. And going out to Washington. So, I was like stunned. My daughter is so much more exceptional than everybody else. 64 to 14. Suck on that, 14s. Eat that. 924.
What a record.
That is a great record. So proud. So proud of her. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Dell, did you learn anything this college football weekend?
I learned that Ohio State is vulnerable in the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Penix didn't start well, but he lit them up in that second half. And the Buckeyes who lost Damon Arnett and Okuda to the draft last year look like they need him because despite Sean Wade's pick six, he got abused. When you're getting abused by a guy named Freifogel.
The Sean Wade hype never made sense to me.
Well, he was just the next in line.
Warrant the hype, and yet people had him in the first round, one of the top corners. I'm like, I remember when he got done up by Rondell Moore, when Rondell Moore was a freshman. Now Sean Wade would have been a freshman
too, right?
Also, but it was an annihilation in that awesome back and forth game between those two. It's a couple years ago, but Sean Wade is just not being good.
He allegedly is their best corner, which is a problem because none of their corners are very good.
That's alleged.
Yeah, well, their safeties didn't play well. They've got now. That's the first time they were tested, and now they've got Michigan and Michigan State and one other in Illinois who they're going to run through and get to the playoff. I mean, not the playoff, the Big Ten title game, and they'll probably see Northwestern, who does Northwestern things, and to Wisconsin again. Wisconsin never plays well in Evanston, but Ohio State's goal is to play for a national title, and no matter who they see in the playoff, they're going to get eaten alive if they don't get better. That was my takeaway. They can't cover anybody.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, especially Alabama. Wow.
I mean, Florida doesn't have great receivers. Their system is really good. The backs, the tight ends, but they'll get the Florida receivers will do work on them too. And then let's just think if Clemson gets in. I mean, the one squad I would say probably they wouldn't be afraid of in Notre Dame, but Notre Dame may just run the ball on them. Except Ohio State's front's pretty good. I don't like their secondary, and that's a problem in college football today. They got to find a way to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that Ohio State is a national championship.
Yeah, they're not as good as they were last year. This team was hyped because of what happened last year, but they lost a lot of guys, and their defense isn't anywhere as close. Their backs are okay, but there's no one that's J.K. Dobbins. But this was a team that made sure the Big Ten played because they thought they had a shot at national title, and they do, but I don't think they're better than Alabama, probably not Clemson either. And
I don't know. Well, I think we've seen it before with Alabama. We'll see how good Clemson with Trevor Lawrence is going to be a different deal, right?
They'll get their defensive guys back. They have those guys are missing in that. Well,
my whole thing, it's 13 total games canceled this last week. It literally is really just about
they're trying to limp to the playoffs.
Protect the most precious gifts you have in college football. Just get, hey, you eight are invited. What if you got an invite to a bubble to potentially play for a college football? Listen, we're going to invite all of you into a bubble in December, and you can do your schoolwork from there and things like that, and you are the teams we're going to consider for college football's playoff system. A&M would be in there.
Yeah.
A&M,
well,
Florida,
here's the thing, though.
Alabama.
This is one of the most lopsided years, though, we've seen. Clemson is good, is really good, but Alabama is,
I don't think the SEC is very good this year. Florida is clearly your second best team.
Listen, Texas A&M is
pretty
good.
I keep forgetting about A&M. A&M and Florida are there.
Yeah, but Auburn, LSU, and Georgia, who are usually factors in some ways,
they're not the same.
Are not completely non-factors.
Yeah, it's Alabama, then Florida, and then A&M and Florida.
Yep. That's it. But look at how they destroyed the second best team in that conference.
Yeah.
I mean, they really kicked, and they're going to kick Florida's ass as well.
I think so too.
In the championship,
I think it's going to be a better game. I do. I think it's going to be a better game. Florida can get up and down the field. One thing we've seen with Alabama historically is good offenses, like Joe Burrow had one. You have teams can move the ball on them in big games. Offenses can. They have Clemson, but granted, all new players. But, you know, so it's not like there are any of the players left over from Deshaun. But when you have a team with an offense. Now, you don't have a quarterback that can move, and that's been the one thing that has been – when you have a mobile quarterback like Johnny was, like Deshaun was, Burrow was to an extent, that causes them more trouble.
Absolutely. And Trevor Lawrence can move.
Trevor Lawrence can't, not
Kyle Trask.
Not Kyle Trask.
That's why I don't think Kyle Trask is a first-rounder. People are going to find out his physical limitations, and you can't be that way in the NFL right now. But in that game – you have to beat Alabama on the outside. I understand Florida's ability to move the ball.
Sounds like that's some type of, like, what? That sounds a little bit elitist.
You have to beat them with wide receiver play. You have to beat them throwing the ball down the field. And Florida uses their backs and tight ends really well. Like I said, and Kadarius Toney's an underneath guy. I don't know if they have an advantage on the outside against Alabama's DBs. That's how you beat them. How did Deshaun go down the field? And almost beat him once, and then beat him again. You throw the ball down the field.
Yep.
Clemson threw the ball down the field with Trevor Lawrence. Even Ohio State, when they beat him in that playoff, you throw the ball down the field and they ran the ball. I don't know if Florida can beat them on the outside. They would have to do it schematically, and I'm not sure that's going to be enough because I think Alabama's going to score a lot.
And then that's Florida. Right. That's it. Even if Alabama does get beat defensively,
it's getting into the 60s.
They're going to score on you.
Yeah.
And Devontae Smith.
Everybody moves the ball.
Did you guys realize he set the SEC record for touchdowns?
No.
Do you know who had it?
Was it the previous Alabama receiver?
I forget who the other one was, but they've tied for 30. Chris Doran.
The fun and gun. Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah. Devontae Smith is a terrific wide receiver. I watched him last year because I thought he was going to come out, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy combines the best of Ruggs, and he's just real skinny, but – Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith he's the most natural of all three of them, I thought, last year. And he just kind of quietly goes, he's only 170-some-odd pounds.
He's a beast.
But he is really tough to cover. He's got speed. He's got great hands. I'm having fun with this college football season. It's just a different, it's just a different year.
I don't know. I'm just waiting. We'll see. I think it's just Alabama and Clemson, and the other two, whoever gets in, be it Notre. I don't think Notre Dame even gets in because they're going to get their ass handed to them.
About college football.
How's he gaslighting me?
I just like saying people are gaslighting. People like to use that all the time.
Yeah, but that's
gaslighting.
It's incorrect.
Yeah, but you're doing gaslighting on Dell.
No, he's not.
About college football.
What the hell?
No, he's going to make the playoffs.
He's not trying to upset me with this, so he's not gaslighting me.
What?
He's kind of gaslighting.
I don't even know what that
he
means.
He just likes saying stuff he doesn't
he was
know.
Gaslighting no one knows you what about means. The high school teacher thing.
No, he wasn't.
No,
that's gaslighting.
I'm going to have to explain what gaslighting means. Is to you.
It means when you say something that people don't like.
No, that's not what gaslighting is.
Gaslighting.
That's gaslighting. When you contradict yourself,
what?
It's gaslighting.
What?
No, gaslighting is
you're contradicting yourself right now.
He doesn't know what it means.
I'm gaslighting you into it.
Gaslighting means when you try to get someone to question their own reality, not talking about college football.
Well, when he talked about Dell, did he not gaslight you when he said, I don't believe, I've really changed my tune on these female high school teachers?
No, this is gaslighting.
Are you, though?
When John says he's an ally,
and then
Mary goes,
are you, though?
Who's gaslighting? Who was gaslighting?
Mary's gaslighting.
I'm gaslighting
John.
Towards this break. 9:32 ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. Talk to Frankie. She wants a plaque or some kind of trophy or something for her performance, which was awesome. I love that little girl. She can drive now. This is going to be an unbreakable record, she just said. Let's talk about all the games. First of all, the Cowboys, they actually look pretty good. Minnesota came in playing good football. Minnesota was, that was my favorite play of the weekend. And I can't believe they played that way. They played great defensively. They put pressure on Cousins. They really didn't let Dalvin Cook beat them. And then offensively, they did what they had to do. And CeeDee Lamb, I want to tell you, those are two of the best catches you'll ever see. Did you see CeeDee Lamb falling back?
CeeDee's got some phenomenal body control.
Let me ask you this. Is he make? I mean, Amari Cooper is almost, is expendable.
The way I see it, Amari Cooper is a really expensive possession receiver. What good is that?
Yeah.
And he's not like a down-the-field intermediate route. Everything he does now is he looks like he's really losing his speed. I think that, yeah, I think he's expensive. You just gave him a contract.
Yeah.
Just gave him one last year.
Good Lord.
Oh, my gosh. And you look at Michael Gallup's playing pretty good football. CeeDee Lamb looks terrific.
He's your third best guy. Amari Cooper's your third best guy.
You just paid Zeke. Like, if you want to pay... Now, if you want to pay Dak... I mean, look how much money you've got on an offense that's really not that kind of explosive.
Because
your offensive line needs help.
And, oh, by the way, Adam Thielen was unbelievable. Unbelievable. That one-handed catch... was the second best catch of the day.
Wow.
Or maybe that was the best catch. I can't
tell. How good was that, huh?
That was unbelievable. Unbelievable. If I asked you, so it's a ways away and all this stuff. But right now, if you had to, let's say the first six or seven guys in fantasy draft next year, another changing of the guard. But I don't think there's any, it's Alvin Kamara is number one, right?
Oh, man. I mean, McCaffrey, when he's healthy, is still going to be really high.
Yeah, but, I mean,
Johnson can bounce back next year,
not
finally.
David Johnson, really. Yeah, it was 2016. But, okay, we were close.
So, it's always going to be...
It's got to be Kamara. He is a threat on every single play.
Dalvin Cook's going to be really high, too.
Dalvin Cook is going to be high, but he doesn't catch nearly...
Oh, but he can.
But he's the number one fantasy scorer, non-quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Top four fantasy football quarterbacks next year.
Well,
is Herbert in there?
Herbert could be in there. But
he scored a ton this year.
He has, but he doesn't run as much. It's Kyler, Mahomes.
It's Mahomes,
Josh
one.
Allen.
Over Lamar. I still think Lamar's the top four, but Deshaun is in there.
But
Josh scores rushing touchdowns.
Oh, he scores.
Kyler, Josh, Deshaun, Lamar. Yeah, Herbert can't be in the top four or five.
No.
But he is scoring a lot of points. You have to be able to run a little bit this year.
So,
now.
Wide receivers.
I mean, still hot.
You'd be surprised. He's lower on the list of fantasy points than
is he really?
Think. Yeah. You know who's going to move up into the first round is DK Metcalf.
He's going to have to. He'll never have a super high like catch total, but he's so explosive with touchdowns.
Yeah.
When he catches them, it's a long.
Will people jump on Chase Claypool?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, because once Ben finds somebody that he makes is his pet target, like he's really hurt Juju Smith-Schuster with all the Chase yes. Claypool love.
Is Claypool in the Rookie of the Year conversation? Let's say,
yeah. I mean, it's already kind of a lock. Justin Herbert's going to get it on offense, but Claypool's going to be in the
You've still got a lot of games left. God forbid anything happens like happened to Joe Burrow, but right, if it does, Claypool's probably
second
right now.
It would take that because he's on pace right now for over 30 touchdown passes for a rookie. That's pretty good. Herbert's already at 22-6. So he's doing really well.
Chase Claypool, total of 10 touchdowns.
In 10 games. 10 touchdowns.
8 receiving, 2 rushing.
Wow. I was a big Claypool fan, too. Because he was way better than Miles Boykin, and they were similar players. And then defensively, the Rookie of the Year supposedly is the leader is Patrick Queen. Linebackers always have an advantage. There's no real standout big time because Chase Young has not hit the big numbers that some people expected. And he missed some time, too.
No, but he looked unstoppable yesterday. He's Akuda's had his problems early on. But I don't know. I'm going to go with Chase Young. That dude is so dominant, man. When he's out there, six games left for everybody? These last six games, he's gonna move into the number one defensive rookie of the year guy. Saquon is probably out of the conversation now.
Yeah.
Right? As far as fantasy goes. Anybody else move their way out? There's guys moving their way up, that's for sure. This is
Saquon's gonna be really high too. People will be willing to take that chance on coming back from that knee. Man, it's a fun. I'm telling you, there's a lot of good young stars in a lot of different positions.
There's a lot.
It's a good time for football. They just happened. Wasn't it funny though, when Jordan was going out? It wasn't just Jordan going out. It was Jordan, Dream, Barkley. It was that whole '84 draft class that was on the way out for the most part. And basketball just took a real from about '98 into the 2000s. Basketball just really it was the doldrums. You just did not have a great superstar run. Basketball is really hurting. Now they're in a really good place. They have been for a little bit now. It kind of LeBron issued that in. When you look at football right now, it's in a really good place from a young quarterback standpoint, and the game is better when the quarterbacks are better. And football's in a good place. Ball carriers, wide receivers, quarterbacks. It's and Nick Saban, Chris Collinsworth. No, it wasn't Chris Collinsworth. It was Joe. It was Troy Aikman said this during the Colts game against Green Bay. He said, Nick Saban recently said, in football, a great defense no longer beats a great offense. And he said, let's see what happens here with Green Bay against the Colts. Sure enough, Green Bay went right down the field and got a field goal. Almost won. Almost beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they missed a pass in the end zone, and they didn't take any chances. They kicked a field goal. And I think he's right. A great defense doesn't – it used to be great defense would beat a great offense. We saw it time and time again in big games. I don't think that is the case anymore. I think you got to be able to shoot it out. If your great defense doesn't – if you don't have something on offense, then you're going to be in trouble. Great defense – the Ravens, I don't think they could win in today's NFL. That great defense, and then Trent Dilfer and Jamal Lewis, I'm not sure that could win in today's
NFL. Even good defenses today, when it matters late, how many stops do they actually get? I mean, the Ravens, I don't know where they're ranked, but their reputation is of a good defense, and Ryan Tannehill and the Titans went right down the field on them to take it to overtime, and then went right down the field to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look. I mean, I don't like. Once again, who knows? I don't know where the Raiders are ranked, but Raiders late lead. Pat Mahomes didn't care. One timeout, didn't care. Scored with time left on the clock.
Yeah.
Great offenses late in games when defenses get a little tentative because they don't want to give the big play. You just let teams walk right down the field. I mean, we've seen Deshaun do it here. I think the worst place to be is to have your defense on the field late in the game against a good quarterback.
Yeah.
You'd rather be down with the ball to go win the game as opposed to holding off a good quarterback.
I mean, it feels that way. No coach would ever say that, but it does feel that way. And it's all, if you want to be able to stop teams from going down the field, it all is on the rush. How do you rush a quarterback? It's that simple.
That's it. 944 ESPN 97.5.
Have to be able to get after a quarterback.
We watched the Patriots yesterday against Deshaun. A lot of three-man rushes.
Yep.
And Deshaun just picked them apart. I don't know what the game plan was, but it was wrong. They didn't heat him up at all, and he picked them apart.
Yep, that's true.
All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here.
I want to tell you guys about my friend down in Angleton. If you want to give yourself a great Christmas gift, go get yourself a car. Go get an SUV. Like, you know, they're calling crossovers SUVs now. You know what a crossover is? Chevy Traverse, Buick Enclave, GMC Acadia. They're like SUVs, only lower to the ground. They cost less. They're great options. I've driven a Yukon, and I think a Yukon is absolutely spectacular on the GMC side. But, you know, I'm also right now driving a Chevy Traverse, and I'm very happy with it because I've got the interior space I need for my big family. But I like the way it handles. I like the way it feels. I like how smooth it is. It's got some of the features from other SUVs that I really like. And, you know, the Buick Enclave, they've got great dealer cashback offers right now and some 0% financing options for you on the Buick side that you need to take a look at. What I'm telling you is that when you go to LandZCars.com, their entire inventory is right there at your fingertips. You can go through the entire inventory and find something you really like, hit the chat function, and start negotiating for or just ask questions about vehicles. But you'll find that you can get much of it done in a single hour or two, just really, frankly, less than 2 hours. You can chat and get the information you need. And before you know it, you may find that you have a brand new lease on a GMC Sierra pickup truck, or you may have one on a Chevy Silverado, a purchase on that. Check out LandZCars.com. Do it today. 0% financing for up to 84 months for well-qualified buyers on certain vehicles in stock. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 948, Lance's last segment. Let's get Lazy J in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Lazy J? What up, buddy?
Good morning. Quick say this day right now. I know it's not Thursday, but I didn't call in earlier with a Mexican accent. That wasn't me.
I didn't think that was him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm biracial, but that ain't me, bro. You know, I'm black. You know, today
no,
I'm black. Tomorrow,
no, you're really not. You're really
white. Yeah.
You're really white.
Okay, but I had a quick one statement and one quick question for Dale. Statement is, how about some Cowboys yesterday? I know we're not Super Bowl bound, but at least we're not in the top five. They didn't quit on the team.
Yeah, they showed up and Andy Dalton played well.
2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row. But I had a question for Dale. What do you think about Messi? His career is on a decline. Do you think that whole debate about who's the best player in the world, you think that's over with and Ronaldo's taking the top spot?
Thank you.
Do you think that Messi's coming to the MLS? Because, I mean, he just lost in the Clásico. I think he just lost last week. Like, he's not the same. So what do you think? I hang up and listen. Love the show, guys.
I mean, Messi's 33. Ronaldo, I don't know how old he is, actually. I think he's older than Messi. I don't think either one's the best player in the world anymore. I mean, but over their career, sorry, John. I don't even care about this because I don't care about Messi. I don't like I've never liked Barcelona. In fact, I always rooted for Real in those games. But the consensus from people is Messi's the better player. It's not my argument to make because I don't even like Messi that much. But he's older. As far as MLS is concerned, when he's 35, he might come over? That's kind of the range where MLS...
Does he... No, he just had a tax issue, but... Does he strike you as a guy who's going to come over to
one's
play?
One's got a tax issue. The other one's got a rape issue.
Yeah, Ronaldo.
Right.
Yeah, he might.
I can't believe
Beckham
that.
Came over.
European soccer.
I mean,
well, Beckham, international soccer.
Beckham came over. Messi could come over. I mean, Pirlo came over. Those guys come over at that age. Zlatan came over, and then went back to Italy and is actually playing.
Messi
well.
Came over or Ronaldo came over?
No, holy I said crap. Zlatan came over.
No, if Messi came over.
I mean, Zlatan came over and immediately was just talking trash. Anyway, this guy is Zlatan. One of the great. This guy is one of the great guys to follow. The things he says and then he backs it up.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, can you, like, who's another guy like that where you just realize, he does. What does it mean to you? Find the quote where what does it mean to you to where you've scored? You're one of the top scorers here, and you're one. I've played in the way better leagues than this. This is
well, yeah.
It's a stop.
It's a step
this is
down.
Embarrassing.
I'm here. Hide
the
your
fact
wife.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm just here to have fun. I could score all day if I wanted on you sorry ass people. Like wow, Zlatan is.
I came here because I have won a lot. I didn't come to relax. That's what I am. It's not for nothing. I have 33 trophies. Zlatan is that dude. He went back to Europe and is still playing pretty well at his age. But, yeah, I could see Messi coming over at 35 or something like that.
Yeah.
They'll pay him $6 million or whatever they might pay him for a year or so.
That's like $30 million. Dollar.
Yeah, but it's still $6 million or whatever the deal
He'll
would be.
He'll pay you $6 million not to come.
What?
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, but then again, he might
Why
need
would
some
he?
Money.
If he gets if he gets to play in L.A. or Miami, you don't think he'd show up for
Now, Cristiano Ronaldo would because he could flex in New York or L.A. and he and whoever he's with at the time.
Messi's
he's not married, right?
He's got a partner. Messi's a businessman. You don't think he would try to up his profile? Not that he needs
maybe,
it.
Maybe, but
the $6 million, that's a
Ronaldo
that's
would go
the in.
It's for 20-something. It's for 20-something games. Get sorry, MLS player.
Yeah, but he doesn't pay taxes, so he's got a little extra money.
He's got some taxes.
Remember, he doesn't like to pay taxes.
That is true. That is true.
Oh, by the way, John.
He can't make his $30 million anymore?
I don't
know. Not in the MLS, you can't.
No, but
there he can.
But he won't be making $30 million in Europe very soon. John, you've always said rich people, you know what they like? More money. Tell me Messi wouldn't just come over and chill out for $6 million or whatever the number would be?
Maybe. That's like insulting him. That's an insult
at
to
some
a
point,
Messi.
He's still. I'm sure they would break him off.
Did you see this? Here's Brigham Young's BYU's athletic director is Tom Holmo, which is kind of ironic.
Just keep moving past it.
Don't go
just
down
move
that.
Past it.
But he put out a statement. We remain open to exploring options to add football games that have been throughout the season. In that exploration process, there are a variety of factors that need to be considered, including the location, prep time for a game, chances of a big game being played, the testing protocols, blah, blah, blah. At this point of the season, having played 9 games and being nationally ranked, we are involved in discussions for possible matchups with other teams. Should they or should they not play Cincinnati? If you're Cincinnati, should you do it?
Hell no.
Well,
if you can.
Now, if you have the balls to, it will help your case.
It will help your cause.
It will help your cause.
Both
but can
teams'
you,
cause.
If Clemson wins out, can you hold them off?
Well,
I think Notre Dame's out if Clemson wins out.
Well, what I saw is it looks like this. Alabama. Oh, yeah, it was Notre Dame 3. That's right. Yeah, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Florida's
going
to be out, too, after they lose to Alabama. So,
but if they beat Alabama, does Alabama stay in?
Depends on how they lose.
That's a real problem for a lot of people.
Well, I don't think Florida's going to beat. But, okay, let's say.
Because ain't nobody beating Ohio.
Let's say it all falls right.
Yeah.
And there's a and you need BYU needs to pass
because Michigan's not winning
Texas
not beating Ohio State
Cincinnati and BYU both need a chance to pass Cincinnati and BYU need a chance to pass Texas A&M.
You know, really, if they got together and said, "Look, it's you or us.
Let's do this.
Our best chance is for one of us to beat the other one." It really is. You may not get a chance like this again in the modern times.
Who you got?
Oh, I got BYU.
Does Cincinnati have an open day? Since BYU was approached by Washington to play a game.
And then I heard that they kind of backed out.
Just canceled Washington State.
Well, because Washington State has COVID issues. In fact, the quarterback caught it, and then it went spread. So they're not playing. They canceled the Stanford game. They're not going to play the Apple Cup.
I'd be a little worried about that. I mean, somebody got his ass handed to him by Washington.
Yeah, but if BYU, you need opportunities. And Washington would be the best team they've played so far.
Yes.
Apparently, Washington tried to schedule the game. The issue with that is the Pac-12 won't release Washington for a non-conference game till Thursday because the Pac-12 reserves to rights to schedule a random Pac-12 game with Washington. Like Arizona State may not be available, so Utah might be available to play. So they would rather have a conference game, right, obviously the Pac-12. So BYU,
I'll tell you what, Washington get more off of a BYU game than they would.
But the Pac-12 wants Pac-12 games. The conference does.
Right.
So,
but they said that they would go outside now.
They would if they don't have a Pac-12 game to schedule. And if Utah's available, they would play. So BYU's like, yeah, we would want to play, but we don't want to get all ready, and then you guys pull the rug out from under us on Thursday.
Yeah.
So BYU has said, let's wait. We're not sure about playing you guys yet, but BYU may be open to playing Washington this week.
I think you'd be better off playing a play-in game against Cincinnati.
Well, the thing is, Cincinnati, I don't know what Cincinnati's schedule looks like.
Right.
Because if Cincinnati doesn't have an open date, then how do you do it, particularly if you have a conference title game to play in? I don't know what their schedule looks like.
Yeah, I can tell you what their schedule looks like right now. Do they have an open date? They've got, they've got December 5th. They've got December 5th open.
So what Cincinnati set up, they have Temple win on the road. Then they have Tulsa on the 12th, which is going to be a tough one, on the road.
They got December 5th and then open. They have Does the BYU have it?
Then, I don't know. Then they have the title game on the 19th if they make it. So Cincinnati, BYU, there's some thought that BYU wants to see where they are as far as the college football rankings come out before they try to move the schedule
around.
To me,
that's a play-in game. Well, a possible play-in game.
Possible. It really does.
And BYU's got a December 5th open, too.
I haven't seen anything about those two playing.
That would be... That's the smartest thing. Play a group of five. Well, it's not. BYU's not really a group of five, but play a game with you two. What are they, 7 and 8 right now? 6 and 7 in the poll?
Well, yeah, and the college football rankings, playoff rankings will come out tomorrow, and that'll be the one that counts. Right now, Cincinnati's played 8. They have 10 scheduled, and then they have the conference title game. So that will get them a 12. So it's not like they'd be playing more than 12 if they did schedule BYU. But I haven't seen anyone throw that out there as of yet. So who knows?
That would be, to me, let's see.
How do you decide where that game's played?
Flip a coin.
I think that would be
Cincinnati 7, BYU 8. Florida can be eliminated. You might hop A&M if you beat a Cincinnati, a top 10 team. You need that top 10.
It really
luster.
Does. I mean, it really does make sense. What do you have to lose?
What are you nothing?
Well, so you lose your
spot.
It's
a playoff game.
You ain't getting in anyway.
It's a playoff game.
You're already going to have a lot of trouble. If Alabama loses to Florida, then Florida's going to jump in. Alabama stand there. No one's beating Ohio State.
The only thing you could lose.
You would really need help against Notre Dame and then Clemson. I mean, it's going to be tough. You need Alabama to win out. You need Ohio State to win out. And then you kind of have to hope, honestly, yeah, if Clemson beat one of those gets eliminated, I would think.
BYU has one more game to go. That's against San Diego State on the 12th. The only thing BYU would stand to lose is a shot at a New Year's Six game. I mean, they wouldn't lose a playoff game by losing it because they weren't going to make it anyway without the one. That's the only thing they would probably be concerned with is a loss knocking them out of the New Year's Six because they don't have a guaranteed spot. That's the only thing I can think of. But I don't even know if that crosses their mind. But you asked about what they could lose, that would be it.
Who cares? Well, I got a shot at being in the playoff.
That's fine. That's fine from your perspective. But I don't know what BYU thinks. I'm not even speaking for
They don't
for
think
them.
Like you that the Peach Bowl's fine.
Once again.
They want to go for
once,
it.
Once again. Okay. It doesn't. Once again, you say that, but I don't know what BYU thinks. They may very well think it's a big deal to make a New York Six game. I'm not saying they care. I'm just telling you what they could lose. By a loss, if you're saying what is out to lose.
But you lose that any loss.
Yeah, but they're not
football team.
But they're not going to lose.
The thing that they're lacking right now is a big win.
I'm aware, but you asked what they could lose, and finishing in the top 8 probably guarantees them a spot in one of those games, and a loss may knock them out. Who knows how it'll work out. Who knows?
Don't play scared. Let's go.
But that's not even up. Who knows if Cincinnati wants to do it? There's another team on the other side.
No, but to move ahead, they've got to play a big game.
I understand, but we don't know if any of those teams are interested in that.
Well, right. Get interested. Make some sense.
Get interested.
Time for you to beat it, Lance.
Not yet. Not until I tell you about how you've got a chance to get back to the way you're feeling when you're 31, 32, 33 years old, 28. I don't know. I mean, it depends. testosterone is what drives you. It's your drive that you have. It's your energy. It's the, you know, the for your libido at the workplace. I mean, so many different ways testosterone is benefiting your life. It's making you feel better. But the thing is, when it gets to a certain point, when it gets lower, you don't know that it's a testosterone issue. You just say, man, I don't look the same. I don't feel the same. I don't have the same level of juice where I used to really get charged up to do this, that, and the other. My workout doesn't seem to matter as much. Well, that means you're probably struggling from a lack of testosterone. And it's okay. It happens naturally in men, usually over the age of 40 in most cases. But there is something you can do about it. And what you can do is make sure that you get yourself back to being the real you by getting your testosterone levels back to your normal levels. And once you're there, the difference is astonishing. Go and stop by one of the locations. They can get you tested today. They'll have results in minutes, and they can work with your insurance company to get you taken care of so that you can get back to being the real you and living your best life. 5 locations in Houston, menstclinic.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.